keeps you laughing with all the jokes.
It's JV.
Keeps it real around all your folks.
It's JV.
You've been looking and what do you know? Congrats, you tapped into the Javon Show. Who keeps you laughing with all the jokes?
It's JV.
Keeps it real around all your folks.
It's JV.
No matter the outlook, will give you some hope. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Javon Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another special edition of The Javon Show. I am your host, Javon, and today we have Dallas royalty, soon to be Texas royalty, soon to be national royalty, soon to be international royalty. I am in a place right now of unmediated bliss. Can I say that? Am I allowed to put that out there in the atmosphere? I am excited because I have someone on my show who does the thing that I do here, but on a much bigger and more professional level. Someone who is amazingly, skillfully talented in a way that just gives me flutters is what she does. Now, if you are anywhere in the Dallas area, then you have seen this woman. You have heard this woman. You have appreciated the presence of this woman. But for those who may be a little bit new, this is what she does.
And they will help you.
All right, and hold my balance.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Hello.
But you got this.
Yeah. Thank you for the words of encouragement.
I believe in you.
So don't cross my leg. Just leave.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Ooh. And you do this up high?
Yes, while walking on the high wire itself.
All right. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Nice.
Giant hill.
Yes, she gives him praise even on her show. Even when she's only been 3 feet off the ground and makes it back to her feet, she gives the Lord glory. Ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to bring on the show my friend, Miss Yolanda Williams,
hey!
The host of Fun on the Run, CW33. Yolanda Williams, how are you doing?
Hi, Javon. Oh my goodness, you're gonna make me cry. Oh my goodness.
You make me cry with tears of laughter every single time you come on the CW. You are by far my favorite TV personality. I got to meet you for the first time at a mixer. I was following you before then. I've still been following you since then. And it is just a pleasure to have you on the Javon Show.
My goodness. God bless you. Oh, thank you. I'm so humbled. Thank you so much, Jay. Thank you.
My pleasure. So we're going to have an amazing interview.
Yes, we are.
I'm going to ask you the question that you ask other people, but this is the first question on every single Javon Show. Who is Yolanda Williams?
Oh, my goodness. Ooh, child of God. Oldest child to the late Johnny Ray Williams Sr. and the Tobazina Brown Williams. My mama and my daddy who sowed a seed into me very early on. And I'm so grateful that somebody gave me so much at such a young age and painted such a big picture for me to see where I was supposed to be in my global, in my thinking. I'm grateful for that. Part most of all, my family. I have an amazing family. I know there's a lot of people in the world who don't have family or who don't have parents, and I don't know anything different. I have always been in an environment where I was encouraged and supported. I'm not saying that my parents always understood everything that I chose or did, but in the end, I knew that they gave a knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone about me, you know, and now that they are gone, it is different when your parents are not on this realm anymore, but they do work for me on the other side. I cannot begin. I was just telling somebody today, I have never experienced favor like I have experienced now. I've been in show business for, oh, Lord, I need to get my calculator out and add it up. But I know it's at least almost 40 years. And because I started out very young. And I mean, you know, you can't, you know, God can see up the street, around the corner, around the block. I can't do that.
Right.
But everything that, everything was preparation for something else, you know, and being in the atmosphere, being around people who are educators or people who are knowledgeable. Because I told somebody just this morning, it was not on my grocery list of things to do to have my own television show. I thought I'd be doing something else. So if you had told me this years and years ago, oh, you know, you're going to have your own TV show, I was like, child, you lying. You know, it never occurred to me. It never occurred to me. So I know this is an assignment that I have from God, and I know that He is serious, because I have divine order happens to me on a daily basis in the smallest of things. Somebody asked me just the other day, they said, yo, how do you pick your outfits? I said, child, I just be like, okay, let's just do this. And when I show up to be on set, how about my blouse and my shoes is matching everything around me? Because I've never been there before. I did a segment the other day for Aldi, and they were making mimosas. And how about the shirt I had on, a lady holding mimosas? I thought the lady was just holding her hands up in the air. How about the wardrobe lady pointed out to me that the lady on my blouse was holding up mimosas? And she was. Now, ain't that something? So
that's something.
Let me tell you, that's the Lord maybe making wardrobe choices.
So I guess what you're saying is He's in all phases of your life.
He really is. And so I'm always concentrating on the content and the verbiage, and what am I going to say? How am I going to introduce somebody? So I'm a little bit focused on other, but it's the small things that He reminds me that I like, you know, and it's, God has a sense of humor.
Yes,
He does, you know, so it's just kind of funny that way. And somebody always points it out and I miss it, you know?
Yeah. So I'm trying to understand. So you're in television and you're awarded your own show. And I'm sorry, you've earned your own show and it's actually awarded to you. And you look around and go, me, how could that not have been the original goal when you started? Mm. What was the original goal then?
The original goal. So I'm a musical theater baby. I went to Booker T. I studied musical theater. I play piano. I read music. I'm a daughter of a musician that was always encouraged. I mean, I was allowed to go into the acting world, and my mother signed me up for ballet and dance classes and things like that. But my primary thing was I was a musician. I sang at Walt Disney World for 5 years. I sang with an a cappella group at Epcot. So I just thought I'd be performing and singing and dancing in shows and wearing wigs and wearing microphones. I never thought that I would, you know, be in TV. Now, don't get me wrong, my improvisational skills and being on stage and having the rhythm to do 8 shows a week on an equity stage taught me how to adapt and adjust, because right now, you know, things aren't always planned. Mm-hmm. You know, scripts are not always available. Sometimes you have to improvise. So that's something I'm very comfortable with. That never, you know, makes me nervous. I'm never nervous about that. That part is always amazing to me, because we just did the St. Patrick's Day parade the other about a week ago. And how about all the floats that were listed in the script were out of order?
Oh.
And baby, I called on Jesus. And you know, you have to be savvy and you have to remain professional here. And we are looking at the lower third, which is our names and stuff at the bottom. And I'm looking at that screen. I'm looking, I'm getting whiplash, turn around, looking to see what float is coming. And baby, we're creating, you know, I'm like, oh, it's a beautiful day. Oh my God, everybody's got on green. Child, I was thinking of stuff, you know, because the script wasn't what was happening in real time. So right. What do? You use what God gave you.
Mm-hmm.
You do. You rely on Him, and you have to be joyful about it. You can't be stressed about it.
But like you said, it's that years of just preparation and years of study and years of actually doing the job that allows you to be in that moment and say, oh, I can do this. I know exactly what I need to do. I know how to do this. I want to go back to, though, you're talking about your parents, bless their souls. When you were growing up, did they give you that freedom to be, I guess, artistic in that way?
Okay, so I got two stories. So by my mother being a choral teacher and a musician, she played for churches all of her life. And Lord knows she... she understood it, but my father had a difficult time with it because he was a little, my father was an educator as well. He was a science educator. So he taught physics, chemistry, and biology for many, many years in Dallas Independent School District. So he didn't always understand it, but you know, I think after a while he started to come, come together. So I just always tell the story. My mom was pregnant with me and she was judging a solo and ensemble contest. And the guy that was playing trumpet did not warm his trumpet up all the way. And he hit a sour ass note. And my mother said, I turned a flip in her belly and I reacted to the note that he played wrong. So fast forward to me being like in college. If we were watching something on TV or we were in church and somebody was not singing right or not playing right, my mama was such a comedian. She would turn around from the piano and she would look at me and I'd be sitting over in bed and she'd be looking, leaning, because she knew I was reacting because it was like somebody taking their fingernails, going down a chalkboard. That's how much music or bad music would affect me. And she thought it was funny.
Are you pitch perfect?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Okay. I wish I was. I do have it. I do play by ear and I do read and I still play. But my mother thought that was funny. And if she had somebody that was leading a song on Sunday morning that wasn't doing quite a good job, she always, you know, she was always really forgiving. But baby, she would turn around, look at me and go, you know, trying to see what I was, and then on the way home, and of course on the way home from church. So how did you like Sister Mayberry's rendition? I'm like, Mama, please don't let that be the same no more. You know? So that was just like a running joke that we had. I told this story recently about my father. When I first started doing film, my first movie was RoboCop, and I was not educated in the world of residual payments or royalties. I did not know what that was. So this was, I think it was in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So after RoboCop got released, a big cinema release, you know, about 2 or 3 years later, you know, you'll get some residuals or royalties. And I remember I went to the mailbox one day and went out on the porch. And SAG-AFTRA had like a cute little postmark. It was like blue and yellow. And I remember I was outside on the porch. My father heard me go out on the porch, but he didn't hear me come back in. And I was out there because I was stunned. I was looking at that balance of that check. I was trying to see how many zeros. I'm like, is this right? You know? And so I looked at him and I showed him and he looked at me. And I remember clearly that he was whispering. My dad's whisper was not that great. He said, don't show your mama. Because the funny joke was my mama thought your money was her money. So that was my beginning of that. And so when he began to see those envelopes come in the mail with that postmark, he always would tell me either go to the mailbox or he would slip it up under my door because I was still living at home with him. But that's when he began to realize that what I was doing was it was more money that I was earning for the residual, you know, payments. And like I said, you know, nobody really educates young actors about that type of thing. So that was something I had to get, you know, a little education in. Look, help me put a down payment on a few things, you know. And I still get checks to this day. Now, get this. They're not as big as they used to be, but it's like cigarette right. pantyhose money now. So, right. you know, but it's something, it'll pay a light bill.
So we're talking about improvisation. And so, you know, I don't know your complete bio. Okay. And so, you know, our questions are just purely organic, conversational. Sure. I had no idea you were in RoboCop.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people don't know it. I am the only Black female lead in that movie. And I did not realize that until a friend of mine told me, because they do a lot of, you know, those Comic-Con kind of sci-fi conventions where people line up and they're really excited about those. And, you know, huge fan base of those type mm-hmm. of movies. There have been people, we went to the Texas Theater back last summer. There are young people that walk up to me who have box sets of DVD box sets of RoboCop 1, 2, and 3. I was just in the first one. And they will have a Sharpie marker and they will ask you, can you please sign this? And I'm like freaking out going, are you serious? So there is a fan base for that. And people still love it. I have people quote lines from it. Child, I don't even remember the lines from the movie. But you know how people win, you know, just like other type of films that people like love Friday or they love The Close yeah. Encounters or Star Wars. Or type. There are people out there, there's a fan base who know you by name and they will walk up to you and talk to you. And I always try my best to be as kind and as considerate. Because it takes a lot of courage for them to say, hey, hi, how you doing? You know, I'm so-and-so, so-and-so. So I always, if it was not for them, there would be no royalty check, to be honest with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you still watch RoboCop?
Watched it last summer. I watched it last summer. Or I have cousins or family members that say, yo, you on channel so-and-so, so-and-so. Or, you know, let people know. Because here's the thing. It'll start airing and then here comes the money. But I tell you, there was such a big surge when the newest one came out. I think it was like 2014. Mm-hmm. So that began to pique the interest in people to go rewinding the archival footage and go back to the original, which one came in 1987.
Yeah, when I was 8 years old, one of my favorite movies, I remember when he got torn apart and I was like, I know.
And you know, the movie didn't almost come out. It was rated X, I want to say, because of that particular scene you're talking about with the blowing up of the hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
I put my hands over my face. I couldn't watch it. It was too much. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to tell your age, but you were in your 20s.
Yes, you can tell me my age. Yes.
So what is the process? So, okay, wait a minute. I'm trying to figure out how we go from I'm a singer and I love acting to being in RoboCop. Was that filmed? Where are you from?
I'm originally from East Texas. Marshall is like 150 miles east of Dallas. So my parents came to Dallas for work. They came to teach school in DISD. Okay. So I like I said, my mama always believed in having different checks coming in from different directions, you know, especially in the world of show business. You know, if you can't get a job singing or dancing, you can get a job acting, you know. So, you know, you have to be a triple threat. So those are the things that I learned. And I got my first agent. I was with Kim Dawson. I signed with Kim Dawson back in the day. And that they are the ones who helped me book RoboCop.
Okay. I'm getting all of my brains together.
Please get all your brains together. Yes.
So what was it like filming RoboCop? Oh,
incredible. Incredible, incredible, incredible. I'm so glad you're asking me this because I recently told this story. I remember when I first got the job, I was a little surprised. I was like, really? And so I played the part of Ramirez. Let's go back. Ed Neumeier, the gentleman who wrote the screenplay for RoboCop, he named all of the police officers after serial killers. A lot of people don't know that. I'm friends with Ed. And I remember Ed breaking that all down for me. So unfortunately, my character, I'm a police officer, but I am named after Richard Ramirez. I think he was the Hillside Strangler back in the day in Los Angeles. Isn't it weird? It's a weird kind of situation, but all of the police officers are named after serial killers, believe it or not. So, are you okay?
I'm just
you're trying to digest this, aren't you?
Thrown. Because now that I'm remembering, just take me back if I'm on the right scene, where you had the thing over your ears and you was like,
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm on about four scenes. And so I think the most miraculous thing for me, and this is also divine order. So let me tell you about Robert Doakey.
Yes.
You have to Google him when you get time. So Robert Doakey, he worked prominently in Hollywood. So his most memorable role, he was TJ. He was Florence's boyfriend on an episode of The Jeffersons. And she had him to spend the night one night. And he had on Mr. Jefferson's robe. That actor's name is Robert Doakey.
Yes.
So Robert Doakey, he had a prominent role. He played the police chief. And he could probably tell how green I was and how country I was. And he introduced himself to me and to other young Black performers on set. He said, Yolanda, he said, how many days are you on set? I said, just today and I think next week. He said, let me tell you something. And I hope you listen to me good. He said, you need to come down here on days when you're not shooting so you can learn. Mm. He says, is this your first movie? I said, yes, sir. He said, yeah, it's important that you come down here. You just need to get permission from one of the people, one of the producers here. And he said, don't be in the way. Just sit over to the side. He said, and I want you to start learning the terminology. So when they say back to one or check the gate, you'll know what they're talking about. And that was probably the most valuable information that I was given. I befriended one of the sound engineers on the set. And at that time, I had a Sony Walkman. And my Sony Walkman had a radio on it. And it had a cassette, but I could dial, go all the way down to the AM dial. He showed me how to do, go all the way down to the AM dial. And I could listen to everybody that was on headset or radio. I was picking up their frequency by listening to it on my Walkman. And so I was listening, and it was just immersed in me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm taking it all in. So the next time I was on set, I was not lost. I knew what they were saying. It was like learning another language, learning the terminology when you're on a movie set. And a lot of people don't realize how important that is. And I just shot a movie recently, and it took me back to the first time I was on a movie set, because I had not a clue. And Mr. Doki knew that. And by him sharing that information to me, I will never forget that. It's probably the most valuable thing that he gave me that day.
And is that why you're so prominent in helping other young startup people?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I told one of my young mentors today that a lot of times people won't share information with you because they feel like you're going to become their competition. That is not true. You think God is that small that, you know, that only a few people can know a few things. Let me tell you, the more you share, the more blessed you will be. And here's the thing. If you share information with people, that makes them grow and become, and then it just spreads like wildfire. I have never understood why people will not share information with folks, because they feel like they'll be their competition and then you'll beat them out. It's not a competition. It's just not.
Mm-mm. It's just not. And I was, because, you know, you've been blowing my mind, so I had to figure it out. And there, I had to grab it.
Mushroom hairdo.
And this is just so amazing that that was you. So you finished RoboCop.
Yes.
What happens next?
You know, Bobby, being so young, I thought the next movie would just be happening like right away, and it didn't happen. So I remember just, you know, pounding the pavement, you know, working retail jobs, you know, just doing whatever I could to keep, you know, the rent going. And and sometimes, you know, back then you really just didn't know, because there was not just a real education about either. You were waiting tables or teaching or finding some type of freelance job, because if you had a full-time job, there was no way you could do something like that and commit to both worlds. So it was a little hard to juggle those things sometimes. But I had a great tribe of people. You know, I did theater with Dallas Drama Company. I did theater at Theater 3, really was my foundation. The late Jack Alder and Larry O'Dwyer, they were directors and artistic directors there at Theater 3, right here in Dallas. It used to be right here in the quadrangle, right off of Root Street. And that's where I got my equity card, and I started doing professional theater. And when I say equity theater, that's versus community theater, because equity theater means you have a contract and you get paid weekly and you have benefits, that type of thing. So people don't think that our business is a business where you can work and have those type of thing. They think you have to be working at Parkland or, you know, somewhere, at, you know, some other corporation to have that. But that is what I believe I joined the union when I was in my 20s. And it was probably one of the best things I did, because when you belong to a union and you're doing theater, you do get paid, and you have to be paid. You know, if you do community theater with Pookie and Ray Ray, you may not get paid, and that ain't the deal. And you know, my favorite phrase is, "Hi, who do I forward my invoice to?" You know, you know, there's a certain language. You have to let people know that it is a business, because people to this day still say, "Yolanda, you still doing that little old theater?" And you know what my reply is? Sure I am. But it also is an education in surrounding yourself with people who have the same goals and aspirations as you do. Because you can't think, there's nothing wrong with thinking neighborhood, but at some point you got to get out the neighborhood and start thinking, you know, what's the next level? What's your graduation? You know, where are you going? Yeah. You know? But I honestly have to tell you, I have not had any bad experiences in this business. You hear a lot about young women and young men both who have been taken advantage of financially, physically, spiritually, you name it. You could just go down the list. But I just always thank God that I had parents who asked a lot of questions. And I did too. I'm going to tell you something. I will tell this story right now, and I have not told this story publicly a lot. I remember the first week on the first scene in RoboCop. It's a co-ed locker room in the future. And I remember they wanted some nudity to happen in that scene. And there was a young woman who agreed to do it. And I don't know why she felt like she had to, but I remember they went around and asked me. I told them, I said, I can't do that. My daddy gonna be coming to see this movie. And so I told my sister, I said, you know, it's really funny. I don't think that I was speaking up for myself. I was more thinking about what my father would think about me. But thank God I had somebody in my life that was holding me accountable to know that I don't need to be doing nothing like that. And they had that nude scene in that movie for years. And when I saw it last summer, it had been cut out. It is no longer a part of that movie. So my guess is that young woman somewhere down the line had somebody made an executive decision to say, you know, don't do. And I remember her looking and feeling so humiliated during the filming of the movie because nobody had the thought, you know, bring her a shirt, bring her a towel or something to cover. And I could just see it on her face. And I just felt so sorry for her. But I knew that was something I wasn't going to be doing. I knew that. And so it's
she said, my daddy gonna be watching this movie and you want me to do what?
Because here's the thing, because he and I made a pact. He told me, he said, look, you can be in this business. I want you to not do drugs. Try not to get pregnant. Please don't go to jail. And I do not want to have to come identify your body down at the morgue. Those were the four things we agreed about on. And I kept every last one of those promises because I wanted to be in this business, you know.
That's beautiful. So when did you get into news?
So I was, I took a moonlighting job working for American Airlines. I was making $10.59 an hour. It was just an extra job I had. And I was working overnight, 8 p.m. to 5 in the morning. And I said, and I think I had just got cussed out that night about some flight. This man was upset. And I leaned back. I said, Lord, I can't do this no more. I just can't. I really can't. I said, I need something better. I said, Father, help me. And about 3 weeks later, I get a call out of the blue from my news director. His name was Steve Simon. And he had something called Newsfix on CW33. And he had heard a voice demo. He didn't know what I looked like. He heard my voice and he found me. He said, hey, I want to know, have you ever narrated news packages before? And I said, no, I've never done anything like that. He said, would you come down to the TV station and come and meet me? And I was like, you know, I'm looking at the phone. I'm like, this is a joke. Nobody calls and asks you stuff like that, just out of the blue.
Right.
And so I did. I went down to the station and I'm looking around. I'm waiting for somebody to jump out and go, psych, you know, that type of thing. And so he started showing me these scripts. So it was an anchorless newscast. So I was just narrating things like, you know, today in DFW, da 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 da. And that's when Ebola hit. And I started to I had to find the right tone, the right cadence, you know, the right rhythm, because you don't, you know, go all chipper talking, hey everybody, you know, Ebola's here, you know, that type of stuff. So these were medical type of things. I had to learn how to pronounce things that were happening across overseas. And, you know, I wasn't used to pronouncing a lot of international words. So I really, it was trial by fire. And I remember after 3 weeks he tested and he brought me into his office and he showed me a stack of resumes of the people who had actually applied for the job. He says, yo, the job is yours. He threw them in the trash right there in front of me. And when he showed me how much money I was getting, but child,
hello.
I started jumping and shouting, but it was a lot of hard work. It was not easy. It was, you know, sitting in a microphone in a recording booth, tracking at least 25 to 30 packages a day. And it was hard work. And then it started transitioning to me doing on camera because then they started finding out about my movie and commercial work. And then that's how that ball got to rolling. Yeah.
Nice. And then, and I'm fast forwarding a little bit, but you were given the opportunity and they said, there's a place for you to do this little show. And that little show happened, you know, we showed a little bit of the clip earlier, but like, this is you. I have an opening package because I put it together myself. You have an opening package because you are one of the biggest stars in Dallas. When they said, we want to give you your own show, was there any hesitation at all whatsoever?
I actually, my GM, Mark Hefner, Mark, when he asked me the question, I said, what did you say? Because I just was like, you know, nobody just asks you, hey, yo, you want your own show? Nobody just comes out the blue and asks that type of question.
Right.
And when he said it, I actually started crying. I did. I thought about my mother and my father. I really did, because I used to watch too much TV when I was a kid. And here I have my own TV show, which is kind of funny. You know, I think the coolest thing is when I come home and I pull up my Hulu, or I'm at somebody's house and they pull up the DVR, just to see that it's an option. My name is up there and you can put the remote. That was the coolest feeling, to see it there. And there it is, a description of the show. And people actually have the option to watch it or not watch it. Yeah.
And people are watching it. Has there ever been a moment where you felt that you had to choose between your career and your faith?
Oh, no. No. Never has been. No. God has always been very clear. You know, we serve a God with no confusion. None. I have learned how to pay attention and stay in the will of God and be quiet. And in that stillness, I have been able to see and hear everything. Even when people think that I don't know something, I know, because God reveals it in some sort of way. And that's why I guess I just don't have any fear right now. I'm pretty carefree because, oh my goodness, this thing's coming full circle, you know, or finding out something, and I get tickled. It's like you don't have to shine a flashlight in the daytime on something because it's going to be revealed anyway.
And so what has been the best part then of this career that you've been able to embrace so far and that you've been able to enjoy?
Some of the people that I used to work for a long time ago, I've actually been able to put them on TV now. And it's a full circle moment, because you have to understand, a lot of the positions or where I worked were small freelance jobs that I had while I was acting. And it gives me great pleasure to come back full circle to say thank you to a lot of people who believed in me, who have really taken care of me, who've been kind to me. They didn't have to be kind to me. And here's the thing. I mean, I couldn't have put them on television years ago because it wasn't time. But it is time now. It is seriously time now. And just to say thank you and have that gratitude. And some folk just say, yo, I'm so proud of you. I know how long you've been doing this. And I am just so happy for you. And then also on the other side, there's some folk who ain't said nothing. And that's fine, too. You know what? Let me tell you. I'm going to say it. I'm going to make a t-shirt. I have mastered being unbothered.
Ooh. A mastery. A master class is what you could teach.
About being unbothered. Because people are going to do what they're going to do. And they're going to say what they're going to say. But it does not affect me in any way. It's none of my business what they think about me. I am so laser focused. A lot of times, I just laugh. I have walked in the room and heard people talking about me, and I get tickled and keep on. This is the new Yolanda. The old Yolanda would have turned around and said something, but the new Yolanda doesn't say anything, because I am on a mission. I'm on my assignment, and that is a distraction.
Yeah. See, this Yolanda would have got it. But this new Yolanda, they better be lucky. Is what it is. So I know that, you know, I could talk to you about RoboCop all day. I could talk to you about CW all day. I could talk to you about all kinds of things, but I am like, my fandom for theater and opera and plays is so real. And it leads me into my favorite segment on the show, the creative break. Okay. And on the creative showcase, this is the part where you get to showcase that talent that not many people are aware of. So what we're going to do for this creative showcase is we're going to do our favorite or most memorable or a song from the 80s, RoboCop, that people would not know that you know. Now, here's the thing. Because you weren't prepared for this, you didn't know, I'm going to give you time to kind of, you know, get your bearings and figure out what song you want to do. So you've got 30 seconds to decide what song you're going to do. And while you're deciding, I'm going to do my song because it wouldn't be fair to have you be the only one singing. So I'm going to just figure out some 80s song and then do that while you're thinking of what song you're going to do. What song am I going to do? Take on me.
Take me. Oh my God, I remember that song.
I'll be So that was my take on an 80s classic.
That is hilarious. Oh my God. So I was a big MTV 80s. Oh my God. I love British bands. Oh my God. I didn't even listen to radio for a whole year when I was in college. I was just into British bands. I was watching MTV. I understand your musical choice. I really do.
and now listen, I don't want you to get to that level that I just got to, right?
Because okay.
That's for select people.
That's a nice way to say it. That's for select people. Okay, all right.
But go ahead, let us hear your song for today's creative showcase.
Oh my God. Okay, so you know, I always clown and do Tina Turner. And so let me see if I can get her voice. Hold on. You know, every now and then you might like, hold on. You know, every now and then you might think you'd like to hear something from us nice and easy. But we never do anything nice. I was doing rough. And now I'm going to take the beginning of this song. And we're rolling. Rolling, yeah. Left a good job in the city. Working for the man every night and day. And I never thought the good side of the city until I hitched a ride on the riverboat. That's about as good as I can do. Let me tell you. I used to do.
Wait. You cannot just.
My wig is upstairs. I'm sorry, I can't do the.
You gonna pick us up and drop us off right there?
Yeah, I mean, hey, if you want to see the whole act, I have to forward an invoice to you, baby. It ain't for free. No. But seriously, I used to do a Tina Turner impersonation for a production company. And we were in Hawaii, and the lady I used to work for, her name is Bonnie Piedmont. She actually bought me a Tina Turner dress, and I had to literally learn it. And so mine is kind of like a campy version, like over the top. It's not like serious, but baby, I had fun. I made good money with that little impersonation.
So what I hear is we got to get you to karaoke.
You know what? Yes, we could do that. I would love to do that. And I could just, I love clowning and doing stuff like that anyway. But that's the thing. Oh, wait a minute. We performed this at the Meyerson with the Turtle Creek Corral back in the 90s. There is video somewhere. Somebody has it. I know. Oh, we taught the choreography in my kitchen. Oh, trust me.
Oh, my goodness. So when does the Yolanda Williams gospel album or any album at all come out?
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Now, I ain't that crazy. I ain't putting no gospel album up because there's people around here can sing circles around me. But I tell you what I would like to do.
Yes.
I've always had this dream of marrying television and gospel music. I would like to eventually produce something for television with gospel music. Now, that I would like to do because I am better and listening and not, I'm humble enough to know my butt don't need to be in the front row with a microphone, but I am better at producing and being in the background, knowing what parts that need to be in there. So that's where my talent is. Now, no, I'm not that crazy. You think I'm gonna get up there with Tamla Manchow? Please, she gonna sung me up under that stage. You know, I mean, but there are people who want to produce and be the star of the show. That doesn't work. You know, you got to really know what's in your wheelhouse. You really do. So.
I look forward to producing. So we're going to make the announcement now that I am producing that show with you. That's the announcement.
You're yes.
here today because we're doing that show. And I am talking and I am being dead serious. I will manifest that.
Let
I would
me tell
love
you,
to do that
I
with
have,
you.
I truly enjoy. I used to be very active every Christmas in producing something musically. And I would handpick all of the musicians, and that's the musician inside of me. And, you know, and growing up with my mother too, and just having a great ear. I love putting the right musicians in the right circles. You know, there's some people who don't have good chemistry, like this drummer doesn't work with this bass player, but I absolutely love that creative process of putting all the right musicians together. And because even personality wise, not just musicianship, but just, you know, putting the right people together. And let me tell you, when you cooking with hot grease, it just sounds so wonderful. And mm-hmm. I look forward to, that is one of my list of, on my, now that is a goal of mine, to maybe do a Christmas special, something here in Dallas-Fort Worth, where we have live musicians. I would, and put it on television. That is something I'd like to do.
And you know, we got enough musicians and talent here in Dallas.
DFW has the best pool of musicians. Who are you telling?
You. So, I got chills now.
Chills, yes. I'm telling you, we have the most incredible group of people here. I can't say enough about, you know, some of the folks that I know here in Dallas-Fort Worth that, who are just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Now, the way that you heard me singing, this evening, does that put me in front of the camera or should I just stay behind it? You know what? Don't even answer that. Moving on.
I'm gonna need a red collar. Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. This has been so much fun, Yolanda.
Yes,
I appreciate
absolutely.
You.
No, I
for coming
appreciate
on.
You. I want to take this opportunity to say thank you so much. Anybody out there who's watching the show, thank you so much. You know, a lot of people don't know in the world of television, and this is something I'm learning too. We have a great audience. I could not have asked for a better time slot, the 4 to 4:30 slot. I call it the magical Oprah hour because people are really watching, and I really do take the time to try to find content. And our people, our producers, our team of folk, we try to find things that our viewers would like, and people are watching. I mean, you name it. We look at the numbers and we can see what the households are and what race they are, you know, how much money they make a year annually. And those type of things don't really interest me, but that's a part of the business. But it's just amazing to me how everybody is watching the show. We've got something for everybody. And I love that. That was my goal. I wanted it to be something that everybody could enjoy. And that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, and I mean, you've gone to breweries, you've gone to the Universal,
I have been taking yoga classes with alpacas, honey, I've been making sushi, roller skating, you name it. Look, the Universal Circus has probably been my favorite thus far because, honey, I didn't think I was going to make it. I said, ooh, mama, I'm going to run off with the circus, but it was fun. It was really a lot of fun, yes.
And you're making us have fun watching you in the wheel and trying to figure out which way to lead it and direct it. But you are amazing. The show is fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Well produced.
Thank you. Thank you.
Everyone's doing a great job. So for those who want to know more about Yolanda Williams, more about Fun on the Run, how do they get connected with you? How do they get connected to this amazing content that I get to see?
Well, what I love is our show airs. You can stream it and watch it every day on CW33.com at 4 o'clock. And that show will run for the whole next, 12 hours or so until the next, 24 hours until the next show comes up at 4 o'clock. And then you can watch the newest show. But we do have the shows where, you know, if there's a segment or something that you saw, we blast it all over our social media on Instagram, on Twitter and Facebook. And then, you know, or you can just go into our search bar and you can always download the CW33 app. You can watch the show there as well. I mean, there's so many ways and people do watch this show on their phone. I watch if I leave at a certain time of day, I'm watching the show at 4 o'clock myself on my phone, on my Hulu app. Yeah, I do.
Well, it's a great show. And how do they find you on social media?
So I'm at Yolanda Williams TV on Instagram, and my name is spelled Yolonda. and not Y-O-L-A like some people think. My mom, everybody always thinks it's a typo, but no, my mama spelled it like that on purpose. So you would say Yolanda instead of Yolanda. She didn't like that. So it's Yolanda Williams TV, and that's on Instagram. Yeah.
Fantastic. Make sure you guys go watch Fun on the Run. It's a lot of fun. You can watch it on the run on your phone. Yes. It's definitely worth the time. And Yolanda Williams, this has been an amazing time with you. Thank you for gracing our show.
Sweetheart. Thank you. God bless you. I am honored and so humbled that you would even think to have me on your show. Thank you so much. We need to go eat somewhere. We got to go put a dent in the poultry population. You like fried chicken?
I love food. Come on. Yeah.
We're going to go to Lolo's and Grapevine.
Don't think I won't. Listen, they can bake it, boil it, fry it. I don't care. Just bring it to me with some hot sauce.
There you go.
Ooh, we got to go to Harold's. That's what we got to do.
You know what? Yes, that's true. They're new in town, aren't they? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, we'll go to the start of something.
We'll go Harold's one day, and then the next weekend we'll go to Portillo's, and then that way I can just feel all of my Chicago just wrapped all around me, the essence of Chicago.
Yes.
Three more minutes and we talking about food. Yolanda Williams, everyone, from CW33 here in Dallas, but all over the world. Make sure you all go watch RoboCop so she can get another zero in that check. And until next time, make sure you guys take care of yourselves and each other.
Thanks.